Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's just a joy to see you all here as we worship the Lord in spirit and truth here at Cook's Church. On behalf of the staff members and session, we welcome you. We look forward to sharing this time together as we worship the Lord together. Before we begin, I have several announcements to make before we get started. The first one is a joyous one. Don and Phyllis are celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary. 62nd wedding anniversary today, and they've got some family here in town. This morning is the last day to contribute to the Operation Christmas Child shoebox collections. We have to drop them off at one of their collection sites tomorrow morning. We'd like to say thank you for helping us to help children all over the world receive a little love in a shoebox, and by doing so, spreading the love of Jesus Christ through the world. I really hope we'll see all of you tonight. We've got our annual Hanging of the Greens party tonight at 4:30. As I'll be talking about in the sermon, I think these are really important and consequential events, not only to the life and witness of this church, but to the growth of us spiritually through Jesus Christ. Community in Him is really irreplaceable, I think is the right word. And I would encourage you to come and partake and if you're able to come and join us afterwards. We're not going to get to do the chili this year because of this fellowship hall, but we are going to be going over to the sports page and enjoying dinner there. So I cordially invite you all to come and join us for the Hanging of the Greens as well as for the meal that follows. Our Angel Tree collection of gift cards from either Walmart or Five Below will go to children at River Oaks Elementary School and will begin on November 20th. And must be turned in to Kelly Harper no later than December 10th. So if you'll keep that in mind and let Kelly know, that'd be great. This is really exciting. We hope you're planning to join us for the Queen City Ringers Handbell Christmas Concert on Saturday, December 2nd from 4 to 5:30. We've got a little sampling of that music here, I guess. Not maybe that music, but it is a sampling of the handbells to wet your whistle, so to speak, for the event. We'll offer do a love offering and a brief intermission. So please join us on December 2nd. It's time for order poinsettias in honor or memory of a loved one to help us decorate a sanctuary. Order forms are available in the narthex. Also, the December through February daily bread devotionals are available for you to pick up in the narthex entryway in the box on the shelf at the church office back door. The beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of Scott and Bertha McClure by Susie and Corky McClure. We have a minute for mission coming up from Gay List, but are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Okay, that being the case, we invite Gay to come up and let us know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very excited to give you sort of a year-end recap very quickly. Kashiata Children's Home, which this church has supported since 2008, is doing very well. We have about 104 children and students that we're supporting right now through the home. These are all orphans or vulnerable children and would not have a chance at a future without your help. This year, we added 5 church partners to our efforts. We have churches in Ohio, Florida, South Carolina, and North Carolina, and so we're all working together to pursue this mission. Samaritan's Purse actually visited the children's home in October and brought shoeboxes, so I thought that would be an interesting tidbit to share with you today, so you may have seen that on the screen. We have our next mission trip is scheduled. We have 2, June 6th through the 17th and June 15th through the 26th. We're now taking applications, let me know if you would like to go. We've raised 97% of the funds that we need to build the new primary school, which includes a kitchen and dining hall. We need about $11,000 more, but we are confident that God will provide that to us by the end of the year. We have moved the farm to another part of the campus, and so all of the farm animals, the chickens, the rabbits, the cows, including one named Pud, has been moved to the new farm area. And We found out that our deep water well that we drilled back in 2015 is now dry. But God has provided us a partner through the Outreach Foundation who are covering 70% of the cost of that. So we only have to come up with 30%. We started a raffle, which has already raised about $4,000 of that. So we're very close on that, but we need to raise the remaining part of that $8,000 cost for us. And then we're always looking for child sponsors. We have several children at the home that need a sponsor. So if you would like to become a sponsor of one of those children, please let us know. So thank you again for your love, support, but most of all, thank you for your prayers, because it is God at work, and we are God's people doing God's work in this place. So thank you.
Amen. Now let us open our hearts and minds to the worship of God.
Hey, besties. So, please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us gather with joy as the morning sun brightens the sky.
We come with hearts open, like flowers to the light of God's love.
In the stillness of this sacred hour, let us seek the wisdom of the ancient path.
Guide by the word, like a lamp under our feet in the night.
Together, we lift our voices in praise and gratitude. Thanks, y'all.
Let us pray. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, we gather in your presence this morning, hearts unified in worship and adoration. You, O Lord, are our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer. In your boundless grace and mercy, you've called us into a fellowship of faith, binding us together as one body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, as we come before you, we acknowledge your majesty and your sovereignty, your boundless love, your wisdom unsearchable, and your power unmatched. We stand in awe of your greatness and humbly offer you our praise and thanksgiving. You alone are worthy of all honor and glory. In your divine wisdom, you have established the church as a community of believers where we can grow, serve, and worship together. Today, as we explore the importance of this sacred fellowship, open our hearts to the truth of your word. Teach us to love as you love, to serve as you serve, and to bear one another's burdens in the Spirit of Christ. Help us to realize the vital role that community plays in our faith journey. We make all these prayers to you in the strong and hopeful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you now to those of you who are able to rise and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 36.
Every day.
rejoice in the community, this blessed community that finds their hope, their heart, and their center in Jesus Christ. And as we take in more of our knowledge about what our peers are doing in and through Jesus Christ, the more alive we come. We grow as our social circles in Him grow. So take this time and let's rejoice and pass the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey man, how are you? You doing all right? Good. Well, happy anniversary. What a joy it is to be together, and I invite you to return this evening at 4:30 to enjoy some more of that great time of socializing and prayer and decoration. Really, there's nothing better than decorating for Christmas. Is there all the hope, all of the excitement, all of the energy and festivity is ahead of us, and there's something in those moments that really punctuate the sacredness and the specialness. So again, come out and enjoy time with your friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. We turn our attention now to the confession of our sins. We do so corporately as a means to prepare us for God's grace. And that's the great news that we receive at the end of that declaration, is that God has already greeted us with grace. We know that through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So to that end, let us be fearless and bold in our confession, both orally as we do so corporately together, but also silently in the inner recesses of our hearts as we confess. I pray that you would give to the Lord those things that you ought not have. I invite you now to join me. The words are found in this morning's bulletin. Merciful God, our loving Heavenly Father, in humility and with contrite hearts, we come before you, recognizing our failings, seeking your forgiveness. Oh, you have called us to love others as ourselves. We confess we often fall short of this commandment. Our hearts are burdened by the times we have prioritized our own needs and desires over those of our neighbors. In our words and our actions, in what we have done and what we have failed to do, we have not always shown the selfless love that you, Lord, have modeled for us. We acknowledge our selfishness, our prejudices, and our indifference to the pain and struggles of those around us. Forgive us, O God, for not reflecting your love in our lives. Help us to see others through your eyes with compassion and understanding. Teach us to love unconditionally, to serve selflessly, and to extend grace and kindness as freely as you have given these gifts to us. In your mercy, cleanse our hearts and renew our spirits. Guide us in the path of love and righteousness, that we may better love our neighbors and live in that way that honors you. In the name of our Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this great and wonderful news that resonates throughout the work of Scripture. Jesus Christ has died once and for all for our sins. He was resurrected into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. Our penalty for our sins has been remitted, and we can breathe the breath of free men and women. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Christian faith is one that has existed in the hearts and minds of faithful for generations. And along the way, they record what it is that Scripture means to them. The Apostles' Creed offers us a unique way to summarize the fullness of our faith in a few simple words. So join me in these short but profound statement known as the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in this morning's bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn, number 54. Thank you. At this point, we'd like to invite the children to come forward for a time that's just for them with Mr. Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody ready for Thanksgiving?
I am.
I am too. I'm ready. In today's lesson, we're told, it reads, that if one can pull apart a cord, if one can overpower him alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. So I'm bringing some of my trusty rope today. How many pieces of rope I have here?
One
piece of rope?
Two
pieces of rope? How about three? It says in the Bible, three strands. There's three strands of this piece of rope. Okay? Within that are number of cords within each strand. Millions, hundreds. That's what makes it strong. Okay? That's a strong rope. We know by the reading that it cannot be easily torn apart. Right? Physics. But there's a problem with that. Take that in. Ben, come up here and take this in. All right, stand up.
Are we going to play jump rope?
No, we're going to play tug of war.
Oh, okay.
Pull. Okay. Well, that's enough. Y'all get the point. You're getting the point. The stronger, the bigger person usually is going to win now. But that's not always good. Okay. We in the church don't want to be torn apart by somebody who's stronger. We want to be joined together. Okay? Joined together makes us strong. If somebody's too strong, they can pull us the wrong way. So in the church, we need multiple people here every day to guide us and lead us in a direction of God's will. Separately, we're pulled apart. Together, in the house of worship, we are one. Okay? Let us pray. Dear God. We come to you this season.
We come to you this season.
In joy and thanksgiving.
In joy and thanksgiving.
That you pray for guidance.
That you pray for guidance.
And help lead this church through many more years.
For many more years.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word.
Oh, hey. I'm excited, right? I'm ready to go. Sorry about that, guys.
It's all right. That's all right. Are you ready, man?
Oh,
I'm really glad you stopped me. That was awesome. Thank you. That was great.
Now we come into a time of reading God's Word, right? And we do so with the hope and expectation that God's Holy Spirit will be with us. And so let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be upon us as we hear in this word, reading of your word and proclamation. Inspire us, move us, stir us from our slumbers, allow us to awaken and feel the sunlight of your Holy Spirit on our face, urging us and impelling us to share the gospel with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes 4. 1 through 12 is on 660 in your pew Bible. Again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son nor brother. Yet there is no end to his toils, and his eyes are never satisfied with his riches, so that he never asks, for whom I am toiling and divided myself in pleasures. This is also is vanity and unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their tolls. If they fail, one will lift his fellow with his falls and has not the other to lift him up. And through his man might he prevail against one another alone. Two will withstand him, and three folds will accord, not quickly broken. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes to us from the letter to the Hebrews. I read chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. I invite you now to hear this word of our Lord. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I just want to tag that on as we conclude that reading, you know, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I mean, that's important that we tease out that that's not just the daylight that's coming, but rather the day of our Lord that's coming. You know, I think that when we see and start lining things up societally and with the way things are headed, I hope we see that we are like the proverbial frog in the stew pot, that the water is being turned up on us slowly and slowly. And again, we see this disconnect that comes through a lot of different ways, and it is It is totally disrupting what could be just a very joyful and wonderful experience of life, this distancing ourselves from others, both subtly and societally. You know, we went back to Kershaw this week to be with the prisoners again. You know, we go back, we go one time, and then we go a couple of weeks later. Part of that is to establish the fact that we're not just doing a hit and run, that we're trying to establish relationships with these men to show them more about our Lord Jesus Christ. So we go back 2 weeks after we've gone back in, and we get to see the same group of guys. And it's a really great time. For when we are at Kairos, it really is a spiritual high. I mean, you're around brothers in Christ. You're talking about Jesus. You're celebrating. You're eating cookies and drinking a lot of Tang, right, which in and of itself is pretty good, right? So there's this spiritual lifting for everybody. The members feel it. As do the inmates, and then the real reality comes in where you have to go back to your everyday existence. And there's a slight come down for us for sure, but for the inmates, it can be a profoundly difficult experience transitioning from where a community thrives and there's nothing but love and Jesus at its center to being in with the masses, and nobody else really cares. I got the chance to talk to a young man who admittedly has made grievous mistakes in his life and will be spending the vast majority of his life in jail. But he's a man that Jesus is working on. We got a chance to talk at some length. And what we talked about was loneliness of all things. And, you know, you would think that, you know, there'd not be a real loneliness edge if you've got a roommate that's locked in with you and confined. But really, you can be lonely in the midst of a big crowd. You can feel alienated and distanced from what's going on, even in the midst of hundreds. And this young man, I'm trying to convince him to be a writer. He's certainly got a poetic bent to it. And I tried to write down what he said on Friday, and I think I've got it. And especially the end is right on, because I remember that directly. But what he wrote about being in prison, I thought, was really pretty telling. He said, "In this place, loneliness isn't just a feeling. It's a constant companion, a shadow that clings closer than my own skin. It's the chilling realization that one can be perpetually surrounded and yet profoundly alone. A solitary figure in the crowd, a whisper lost in a storm of silent screams." That kid's a poet, right? He doesn't know it yet. But he's a poet, right? It's very deep. But what we got to talking about was he has been in jail for a little bit, and I don't think he knows how things are really going outside on the real world. He's assuming that his experience of loneliness and community is unique to being in prison. And one of the things that I'm seeing more and more with my kids and with these younger generations is that they're experiencing that same loneliness and community right now. Right now. And if we don't get that, if we don't somehow link on and understand that this growling, growing loneliness epidemic is taking out lives in front of our very eyes, we're likely not be motivated to do really anything about it. I have me and mine. I've got my community and my crowd, right? But that's not my job. That's not my role in Christ, to just relax and enjoy the benefits. There is a push to see that community expand. So let's just really dig in and really consider this loneliness problem that we're having, because it's happening, right? People are seeking out isolation more and more. We have the work-at-home tradition that has started from really expanding since the pandemic, and now folks are fighting for it, which seems really reasonable. I don't want to have a commute, and I don't want to have the onerous boss over my shoulder every single day. But the fact of the matter is that rubbing elbows at the water cooler is rubbing elbows, and you're meeting people. And yet the drift and move of our society is to isolate us, to keep us apart from other people. I had an experience in a crowd the other day, and it made me realize this trend. Everybody, not everybody, but most everybody had on the ear fangs that are becoming so popular. And here was this huge, and nobody was willing to make eye contact with one another. It was this strange space of shared humanity, but nobody wanting to connect. And it has consequences, all right? Real consequences that are being felt. Let's just think about this. Recent research using a survey from 2003 to 2020 found that social isolation in the U.S. has increased, and that social engagement with family, friends, and others, roommates, neighbors, coworkers, has decreased. Companionship in shared leisure and recreation activities has also declined. The pandemic exacerbated these trends, although the decline in household, family, social engagement, and companionship started well before the pandemic. We see this. I know some of you are Masons. The Freemasons and the Shriners are being decimated. There's nobody much going to become a Shriner or a Mason. Nobody is bowling in leagues. We are seeking out more and more the companionship of me, myself, and I, which would be wonderful if me, myself, and I, no matter who me, myself, and I were, wasn't a sinner, right? Wasn't somehow broken. We could maybe enjoy that. But the fact of the matter is when we're alone, we do bad things. But worse, bad things are happening to us, both physically and emotionally. Hear these. Loneliness can lead to a 29% increased risk of heart disease and a 32% increased of risk stroke. Type 2 diabetes is associated with the development and progression of loneliness. Increases type 2 diabetes. Get this. The risk of dementia in isolation increases by 50%. That's why that text or that piece that I put up said that it actually loneliness is worse for us than 17 cigarettes a day, right? 17 cigarettes a day. Earlier death, higher dementia, weakened immunity, arthritis, and Alzheimer's disease all have correlations with loneliness. Their mental health risks, depression and anxiety. Loneliness can exacerbate depression and anxiety. There's a notable link between loneliness and the risks of addiction and suicidality. Self-harm. There's a serious consequence associated with loneliness. The younger generation, I understand. I live and work in this community, and one of the things that's great about it is just how wonderful a community it is. You know, last month was Pastor Appreciation Month, and I was bombarded with an assortment of goodies and cakes and fruit and cards and gift cards. And it's an amazing place, and I see it happen for our members that when there's problems, I mean, we've got a member in the hospital, and I can personally say three of our people have already been to see her in the hospital. Right, we've got a tremendous community of love and support. It's really amazing. But the thing is, if we stay in it, we stay in that wonderful little bubble where everybody knows us and we know everybody else, we will simply wither up and die. Right? Because the heart of the message that we receive today in Hebrews chapter 10 is about community in Christ. It's about coming together. At the very beginning of that passage, it talks about this great high priest that we have. But notice, look at the language. It's all in the second person plural. We, us, all, our. We now can approach the throne of grace through Jesus Christ together. That means that corporately, just as Mike's children's sermon did an outstanding job of drawing our attention to, together we have the kind of strength to bear the jabs and thrusts of the outside world as we seek to increase and grow this community of Christ. What that means is that we have everything sufficient right here among us to change the tide, not only for the west side of Charlotte, but for the rest of this community. And it's here in this room, presently. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit with us. That means that we're not apart from God's power and presence. And then we remember again, what does Jesus tell us? If you believe, ask for anything in my name, and it will be yours, right? We got to clarify that. We can't ask, I've tried, you know, can't ask for a Ferrari, it doesn't work. Because that's not in God's land, that's not in God's design, right? God's design is to see this sanctuary and those classrooms over in the education building swelling with new believers in Jesus Christ. That's what we're here on the west side to do. We've got one mission, really, right? Like, we think there's a lot to it, but it's all about going up to the next person and saying, let me tell you what I know about Jesus Christ, because I think, just for a moment, if you can get that picture in your head of that sweet and wonderful Savior, that maybe, just maybe, it'll cut through the white noise that is clouding your life, the loneliness that is dragging you down mentally, spiritually, and physically, and allow you to awaken and taste and see just how good life and community in Christ can be. You see, we've got generations out there that are languishing, suffering. You know, the loneliness rates as we go down, you would think would decrease. They actually increase. When you get to 18 to 25, 54% of those respondents said that they were feeling chronically lonely. It means half of people, half of them. This is an unmet need that the gospel can meet with such great and excessive power. Early church, the earliest church, meaning the community that arose in the first several hundred years after Christ's life, death, and resurrection, was really freighted for the power of community, the power of multiple people's belief coming together. And we hear that in the way that they wrote. And so I've got a couple of quotes from these guys. I know they're ancient thinkers, and we don't have a lot in common with them. But what we do have in common with them is our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship the same Jesus and follow the same way. So hear these words. Ignatius of Antioch, labor together with one another. Strive in company together, run together, suffer together, sleep together, awake together as the stewards, assessors, and servants of God. That's what Ignatius would have said. Justin Martyr said this, "We who valued above all things the acquisition of wealth and possessions now bring what we have into a common stock and share with everyone in need." Tertullian, "See how they love one another." You see, as this burgeoning community of Christ went out in the world, they didn't have the kinds of technological innovations that later generations would have. They simply had one-to-one conversations. They went out into the world. They did their jobs. And as they did them, they exemplified the ways of the Lord. And as people came to them, they told them more about Jesus Christ. It's a completely different way than we do things. So the focus was on the growth of the community. And at that center of the community was Jesus Christ and his desire to share the gospel. The church, for whatever reason, this one and a great many other mainline denominational churches are dying, right? They're languishing. They're not much hope. But there is an incredible amount of hope if we will just open our eyes, because these younger generations, the ones that we don't necessarily intersect with a lot, are wired in some real ways to bring about good things. They're wired to, they understand community in a way that perhaps we don't. They definitely understand not to make an idol out of work or anything else. They don't want it. So they've got, and I know we like to point out some of their weaknesses, and they like to point out ours. It's part of that generational enterprise that's been going on since Adam and Eve, right? But the fact of the matter is that with the right encouragement, this generation can come alive at a level that we've never seen in America. We've got an amazing potential. We've got an amazing outlook here, because the situations are lined up for us. We're heading into what could be a difficult time economically. We certainly know in an election season, things and emotions get jumbled up. During this time, if we'll but focus on the love that we have within this community as the being the strength that allows us to take those dangerous steps toward another person with the gospel, we will be amazed at the good deliverance that God will deliver to us. Now, I've got a Kairos brother. His name is Doug, and the man is probably, what, Clayton, 6'6", 6'7"? He's a tall guy. He used to be much bulkier, but he's lost weight, but he's still a big, tall, booming presence. It's the kind of guy that you could kind of get lost in how loud he talks right at times, right? Big, garrulous guy. But he's got a heart for Jesus Christ, and he and his small group were eating one night at the Subway over there on South Tryon Street, I guess. And Doug said it just laid upon his heart that the woman that had delivered their sandwich to them, there was something going wrong in her life. He was convinced of it. He told his friends at the table, and they said, well, they should share a prayer together. And they prayed for that woman, and then they said, we ought to tell this woman, right? And so Doug volunteered. Here's this big, booming, garrulous guy. And you can imagine, he might be even a little intimidating. But he went up to the woman, and he basically said, you know, the Lord has laid it upon our hearts. We just want to pray for you. Is there anything specifically that we could pray for? And he said, the woman, at first, there was the stony gaze of what the heck is going on here, right? You know, incredulity. And then her face softened a little bit, and she understood that he was sincere. And so she shared with him the thing that was really on her heart about her family. And Doug prayed for her right there at the Subway. He introduced her to his table, and they let him know where they'd be praying for her. They didn't think much about it. She asked what church they went to, right? Guess who stumbled in the next Sunday? Guess who stumbled in the next 10 Sundays? Guess who came in and joined the church, right, with her family? Guess who volunteers now and the kids? This woman. How did it happen? Well, somebody broke free of their self-contained isolation unit, the one that we can go into and we like to, where we can exist in our mind, think our own thoughts, and not really connect with the people around us. We're there, but we're just sharing air. We're not really connecting. But when the Lord summons you, and that gospel really resonates in your heart, you will not be surprised to find the Lord leading you in the direction of someone that's hurting or suffering or struggling, that needs the gospel, that needs in that moment a kind word, a loving reminder that there is a power so much greater than ourselves, and that power absolutely loves us. And it's not just a power, it's a person. It's not just some point of light out there in the cosmos. It's in fact a living, breathing human being that is also God in Jesus Christ. He stands at the center of our worship. He alone stands in our hearts, summoning us to him. And then, once full with his love, his grace, his mercy, his joy, he sends us out into the community to break down those false and dividing walls of isolation and loneliness that are encompassing and encroaching in on so many people's existence. Friends, we have a special and wonderful calling. We have what the Lord has given us to do. And what the Lord has given us to do, here's the great news. It matches a spot in your heart and in your soul that nothing else can do. And as you do it, and you feel that new experience of joy and that wonderful, enlightening power of God coming into you, you will know that that is what you are here to do. And it will only serve to confirm more and more that the Lord is right and true, not only for you, but for all of us. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention now to the prayers that we offer to God. We know and trust that God not only hears these prayers, but that he does indeed respond. And Father God, do we need prayer at this time? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the many ways that you stitch us together as a community of faith. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to surround us in your watch, caring, and your love, continuing to bring us back here to Cook's Church Sunday after Sunday, eager and anxious and desiring to hear what you'll reveal. Heavenly Father, make this time, this hour, be for us a beacon of light that we can then share with others in the world that's languishing in darkness. Heavenly Father, we recognize that this is a world still broken by sin, and we pray for your active and ongoing intervention. Father God, we see wars proliferate across your globe, and we just ask for the spirit of peace to descend and for all people to know that goodness. Father God, end suffering, we ask, ending hunger, Father God, through the assiduous work of the people of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us make big changes in this, your big world. Father God, so too do we pray for the brothers and sisters in Christ that surround us on an everyday basis, and we know what they're going through, and we lift them up to you now, Heavenly Father. We pray especially for Jill Griffin, who is in the ICU even now. We pray for her, and we remember the Lucky family as they mourn Tony Thompson's passing. We pray, we pray for Connie Lucky, as well as Tony Thompson, as both have had deaths in their families in the past week. We pray for Steve Self and for Elizabeth Bullock, for Aline Grant and Jack Parker and Jill Griffin and Sarah Justice and Tom McClure and Nancy and Richard Smith, and all of the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer. We make all these prayers to you, Father God, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for everything. When we're honest, we recognize that every blessing comes to us directly from your hand. And Father God, now as we return a portion of those blessings back, we pray you'd sanctify this offering, using it to bring about your ends in your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The bell ringers did such a great job, and we're looking forward to December 2nd at 4 p.m. That'll be a nice time to kick off, so to speak, the holiday season, right, with some great Christmas music and really set the tone, no pun intended, for the for the upcoming holiday season. Friends, we've got just this amazing season that we're coming into, that one that's replete with so many great things, and I just encourage you, as you rejoice in the circle that you've created and you have and enjoy, to be mindful of those that outside of it and seek to invite them in. There are a lot of people really suffering right now, and as the people of Jesus Christ, we can really do good things. So let's do that, and let's gather here at 4:30 and enjoy just some of that togetherness that we've been talking about. See you this afternoon. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.